Welcome to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Philip, and today's topic is why is race still an issue in modern day America? I'm in the process, still waiting for my guests to call in. But as we wait on this election night, when I scheduled this show, I did not realize it was election night. I hope everybody voted. I hope that the candidate that you picked was the one that you chose for the issues and no other reason but the issues. But let's get into today's topic and why I actually chose this topic. There are many things that's been going on, even with the election, that are more racial in nature versus the last presidential election we had, where Obama had ran against John McCain. It was more of the issues and change and what that went along with that particular election. Now this one, you know, you're seeing a lot of racial overtones. You're seeing the hanging dummies that resemble President Obama. And we know that with nooses and hanging, where that comes from. So it leads to the question, why is race still an issue in this country? I mean, we have smartphones, we have technology, we have internet, we have everything we could think of to show that human beings have evolved, but yet we revert right back to the same mess, to the same filth, and to the same horrible history that this nation was started on, if you want to be in agreement with that or not. And I feel that any person has had some sort of issue in this nation where it's racial issues going on. And caller 1601, you on the show?
Hey, sorry, Superboy. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay, brother. How you doing?
I'm fine, yourself?
I'm okay. I'm pretty sure you're checking that election out.
Yeah, I'm checking it out. It was real close.
Yeah, it got me worried a little bit when I was seeing them numbers.
Yeah, but like the Senate race is going towards the Democrats so far. But it's a chance that the president may not win re-election because things they've been doing since he won. Actually, the night he won, they started plotting on 2012. I mean, he may still pull it off, but if he do, he's still going to have the uphill battle, because a lot of people don't realize when you win a second term, you only have 2 good years to do anything. The last 2 years of your term is you're lame duck.
Uh-huh. Well, then
right now, it's...
Yeah, that's fine. Like I said, I'm not in front of my TV. I need to probably pull it up on my screen as well while I'm doing the show to kind of look at what's going on, because I know they were saying about Obama's supposed, you know, trying to see if you get Ohio and Florida, and because those numbers, at least when I looked at it, those numbers didn't come in just yet.
Yeah, well, when I'm looking at the Huffington Post, and they have he's 49.7 versus Romney 49.5. It's real close in Florida.
Okay, so they haven't posted electoral numbers yet? Because I know they've been posting Romney was ahead of Electoral College.
Yeah, Romney, like he's ahead with the popular vote so far. The president's been, the popular vote, now Romney's still ahead, yeah, because the percentage is 48.3 for Obama, 50.4 for Romney. So popular vote, like Romney might beat him.
Hmm. Man, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, I want to talk about, you know, this particular topic of, like I stated at the beginning of the show, why is race still an issue in modern-day America? Now, like I said, I am not as learned on some things. Yes, I understand a lot of racial and racism. Yes, I've been through a lot of it just as much as you've been through a lot of it. But I'm going to say you articulate it better than I do. I'm going to say that much.
Okay.
You know, I got to give it to you on that. That's why you don't really see me do a lot of videos similar to you, because I'm just going to botch it up. You and people like Angel Snubnub 7 and, you know, people like y'all, I just can't articulate it like that. That's why I don't even try. You know, I mean, it's, but, you know, so this is the question I got. You know, the AP poll had came out recently, okay? And it was stating that it's more sentiment against Black Americans and Latinos as well versus 2008. Now, in your opinion, why is that?
Well, we don't talk about racism. People lie. They say, they do these polls, they lie. You know, people actually have, you know, they hide their true feelings. You know what I mean? It's like if somebody asks you, do you hate me? Are you actually going to come out and say you hate somebody? But then considering that we have our first one, actually our second black president, you know, people, they hate to see this man, his wife, the children, the dog walk across that White House lawn. And they figure this is their country. They figure they're supposed to be in charge. So now they feel very comfortable because people like Mitt Romney, Donald Trump, Sean Hannity, and them been stoking the flames the last 4 years. So now they feel that, you know, they Romney might win. They, you know, when they take this country back, they actually feel that they can do that. So now they don't feel they can hide. They don't have to hide it anymore. But in a way, I'm kind of glad that Mr. Obama ran, because now you're seeing the different celebrities, the different businesses, you know, people that you might live by, work with, go to school with, show their true feelings. Because I think the last 25 to 30 years, we've been conditioned in this country not to talk about it. Well, white people have learned not to show it. You know, they're not going to do what the Bull Connors and them did. They're not going to get caught on camera if they can help it, you know, calling you, if y'all can you say the word, nigger, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what they do now, they say, we're not going to be in the pointy heads. I mean, some still do, but we're going to become your teachers. We're going to become your doctors, your lawyers, your aldermen, your mayors, your governors and stuff, and we'll get you that way. We'll legislate you. We'll get you that way. So, you know, they know that black people have become apathetic to certain things. So that's how they get us.
Yeah, they're very apathetic. But let me tell you something else I've been seeing in my area where I live. I was pumping gas. And they had this business that sell, you know, marine products. Well, you know, the flashing, you know, billboard they have telling you about sales or whatever. Well, that big old, in big old letters, it was flashed across, and I caught it out of my eye, and I said, what is that? It said, Obama is a coward. And I said, what? So I looked back up at it while pumping gas. I was on my way to work, and I waited for it to come back again, and because I was rushing, I was trying to pull out my phone and record it. So I was going to put it up on YouTube. And it, sure enough, it popped right back up. Obama is a coward. They got signs, stop Obama. I caught another person on the road one time. I took a picture of that on the back of their car. Stop Obama. I seen a bumper sticker today that says, anyone but Obama, 2012. It's that blatant. Especially here in Texas, it's that blatant.
Oh, yeah, because I know Illinois, you know, and people think Illinois is a blue state, but the level of racism up there, because you have to worry about the Democrats or people leaning to the left, it's just racist. Where I live at, this gun shop said, you know, save America. You know, they use code words, you know, and in some places come out and say, vote Romney, don't vote Obama. You know, and then people got signs out, you know, they got the president, effigy and everything. A lot of stuff doesn't make the news. And sometimes you go to the news and they don't even want to cover it unless the national media get a hold of it. And, sometimes you just shake your head. But like I said before, you know, we've become apathetic to these things because, you know, our people don't talk about it. It seems like we get scared to talk about race to our children, you know, our friends, our family. And then we get told or made to seem that we're the ones in the wrong because we pointed out. And that's why I got such a backlash after a while I was doing YouTube videos. Because people don't want you to talk about this cause in their mind, everything is okay as long as we're in a subservient role. And this is why, if you notice, a lot of our leadership, whether it be male or female, but mostly male, when they call us out, they get maligned or they get attacked or their reputation is destroyed. Now, back in the day, they just used to kill you, but now they know that they have the opposite effect. They make your mark. So what they do, they get you in a court of public opinion. So these corporations, these people write in, they say, well, you know what, we don't like the president, or we don't like such and such. You should do a story on them. So they find out that, you know, a certain percentage of the population don't like to see positive stories about black people. So what they do is they're not going to show them. They show the stereotypes or the exaggerations, and this become this overlapping thing that people see over and over. Hence, you get the pimp, the baby mama, the baby daddy stereotypes that we try so hard to fight.
You know, I run into so many brothers, and, like, I'm serious, that who are doing very well for themselves. They brothers that have businesses, brothers who don't commit crimes, any, you know, all kind of brothers, okay? But yet, you notice that these brothers get no television time, always the thug and some, you know, brother that just lost, getting all the TV time. Now, the media has a lot to do with that as well, to try to promote a certain image of especially the black male, especially the black male. If you pay attention to that, you know, you'll notice more positive things, whether you agree with some people agree with this or not, about black women, but you never see anything positive about black males. Now, me and his brother talked about this today. What is the fear? I mean, because it's a fear. I mean, it's a, like a petrified fear of black men being not criminals, smart, in business, have their own money. Why are they feared?
Well, you have to go back to slavery when they used to have us on the auction blocks, and their women would study us and compare and contrast. There's a lot of this penis envy. I know people like to dismiss it, but, you know, you can't deny it. If you look at television or movies or even talk shows, there's always a black man penis joke, a black man sex joke. So what they do is they got it smart. They emasculate us in the court of public opinion. What they do, they get to our women and children and tell them, he can't provide for you like I can. He can't protect you like I can. You know, he's just a sperm donor. They do everything in their power. They penalize you if you're not around, if you make a certain amount of money. So in the subconscious, your women start to resent you, your children start to resent you. Why can't my daddy be like that guy next door, the guy on television? So it becomes, until brothers start to give up. And then the brothers who actually doing something, they look like they are anomaly. You know, they hold few up as long as they don't speak out, as long as they play the game. That's why President Obama seemed like he was the safe choice when he was running, because of his mixed ethnicity and because he wasn't going to go out there and ruffle anybody's feathers. But when they realized that people were starting to say, man, I can do this, I can be that, they got scared. So what they do, they try to deem it. That's why Chris Brown is a Chris Brown story every week. I mean, the thing with him and Rihanna happened in 2009. It was like they got a mad on for that young brother, because they got to contrast President Obama or any other positive black image with the stereotype. They beat their women. They're violent. That's why I can't stand rap the way it is, because the last 17 to 18 years, these media companies have promoted this image of the black man that he has to be violent, he has to be stupid. So if a brother like yourself and me come along, they say, well, they think they're white. They're trying to think like they're white. So we're looked upon as outcasts. This is why we might get terms Uncle Tom or sellout. And people don't realize that you've been conditioned to think that anything positive a black man do is abnormal, and anything negative is the norm. It's reverse psychology.
Yeah, and it's very sick. It's like, but you know, we could talk about, you know, those outside of the community that have racial issues with us, but you know, we promote it as well. I mean, we promote the filth, we promote the hood rat, we promote this. This is what you should do. This is what you should aspire to be. Other communities, I look at things just from the outside and just look at it on both sides of the coin. They promote the people in their community as doctors, lawyers. You know, you think they don't have thugs? You think they ain't got women of different races? They got 3-4 kids with 3-4 different men. I've met them. But yet they don't get no camera time. They don't think that's in their community great. They shunned. But in our community, it's promoted.
Because, like I said before, and I know black women get mad when you say this, but they co-opted our women, especially during the late 1960s, the women's movement. And what they told the black woman, that your black man is somehow stopping you from having the life you always dreamed of. And then you had a welfare introduced, and they gave rules saying the black man cannot be in the home. So now you have the woman saying, after a while, I don't need the man around. So right now, they projected this image that, you know, he's not supposed to be the provider. He's not supposed to be the protector. He's supposed to be, and people get out of this irrational fear. This is why, like I said before, if you notice any positive images in the media, you barely hear about them, because they don't want people, especially other black men, to be inspired by saying, you know what, if that brother could do it, I can do it. I can do it different, probably better. So what they do is they just keep replaying this image over and over. And I know people get mad when I say this, but they've gotten to our women and children. And the only way you control a black man is by getting to his woman, to his child, because he's going to want to protect them. He's not going to want to be in confrontation with them. And after a while, people keep saying, look at the black man. He's weak. He's ineffectual. He can't do this. He can't do that. This is why brothers that have some going for them, they look like the outcast, and this is why we get labeled as Uncle Tom. And it's sad that our people have embraced this mindset, and now the last 20 years we've pushed these stereotypes, and because of the breakdown of the black family, because we've let other people come in and manipulate us and tell our people, no, 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 do it this way, let us help you, and then those people get ahead. That's why I tell black people we need to quit talking about coalitions and stop focusing on ourselves, because other people of color have used what our parents, grandparents, friends, neighbors have done to get ahead. And then when they get into positions of authority, they throw us to the side. That's why I got kind of disappointed when you had black clergy who was for years telling black people homosexuality is an abomination, that all of a sudden, it flipped all of a sudden. But you notice the gay community has been real quiet when it came down to voter suppression. You have gay people in Hollywood writing movies and TV shows that portray us as stereotypes, just like the Jewish community has done. The quote-unquote Latin community, their people of color, have more come with us, but they decided we're going to side with the white community. So now we're standing by ourselves, and we're fighting our own people and fighting them, so we're fighting all these multiple battles. So you have some brothers that say, why not give in and go to the other side and just give up? You know what I mean? Hope I didn't go too long-winded with it. But
No, you could talk much as you want. But see, you know, I look at things like the position we in, even though you may say it's bad, it's good. And I'm going to tell you why I say it's good. I was having a long conversation with brother today, and I said, you know what? The only freedom that black people can have is to have the spirit of Black Wall Street. And I'm going to tell you why. That when you study Black Wall Street, that was a community of people that was self-sufficient, didn't need nothing from nobody. And our biggest problem is we want to be involved in everybody else's stuff. And this is the thing, you know, they have laws to say we can be in their stuff. And if they don't like you, you know, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's why they treat us the way they treat us. They don't like us, but the law is making them have us in their stuff. I feel we should be creating our own stuff. I mean, like our own websites, our own production companies, our own restaurants, our own everything. Prior to segregation, we did that. But the moment with desegregation happened, it's like we left all our businesses, we left everything to go integrate. Now, integration is fine, but why did you leave your businesses? Why did you leave the way for you to give yourself a job? I mean, we shouldn't be begging nobody for jobs. If 80% of us would go into business for ourselves, investments, and work and provide jobs for our own communities, it wouldn't be no need for affirmative action. It wouldn't, because we'll have our own stuff. And that's my mindset. I'm more business-minded. When it comes to even websites like YouTube, they can ban you for your run off at your mouth. Okay, fine. Create your own website. And I guarantee, and I'm telling you right now, I should have mine, if not the next month, the month afterwards, because I'm not going to sit here and be controlled by somebody else when we can spend the money and have our own everything.
You know what I'm saying? And my thing is, and I know people like to romanticize the civil rights movement, but I was more in agreement with Malcolm X, you know, and I give you an analogy. Back when Dr. King was assassinated, city started burning up. Brothers and sisters throwing off Molotov cocktails, white business owners were burning up their own buildings. And they was afraid to send the TV crews in, and so they went and got those brothers and sisters in black press and said, come join us. Come join us, and you go out there. We want to give you a chance. We want to find a way to honor Dr. King. Those brothers and sisters was co-opted. And you saw, wait, these black newspaper writers, these anchors or reporters are now on television. So, man, if we can get ahead and integrate, we can get in and befriend these people. And that's what happened to us. We've been co-opted, and we've been begging to sit at their table for hundreds of years, and they don't want us. Because me personally, you know, if you think, like you said, Black Wall Street, we thrived better. We had our own business in the community, even in the 80s. I'm assuming you're around the same age as me. We're in our mid-30s.
Yeah, I'm 33.
Okay, I'm 36. And I'm sitting there, and I remember when I was a kid, you saw black restaurants, black stores. But something happened around about 1989, 90. It seemed like the influence of drugs, these so-called coalitions, these people got in, they stabbed us in the back. And the old guard was dying out, and their sons and daughters was looking out for their best interests, and they threw the rest of us on the bus, and people got discouraged. And so for the last 20 years, you see the effects of us being apathetic to things around us. Like me personally, I think that, you know, blacks should be able to go buy property. Like, you know, the churches in our community don't know how to invest their community. They get tax exemption. What if they went in and see some of these abandoned properties, fixed them up, got government grants, told people, okay, in order to live here, you got to work so many hours, you got to put so much money in. You work here for 2 years, save your money, you can rent these apartments out, or we're going to go get a vacant lot, plant our own fruits and vegetables and stuff, and stop worrying about whether we can get a store in our community. And then these major corporations will start looking at that, and then when they try to come in, we say, no, no, what are you going to do to us? Are you going to give us a living wage? We don't know how to barter. Barter. We're too busy begging people, and they say, look at them. Because I remember all the supermarkets in our stores, and I can't give a percentage. Blacks usually have more money. It's just that we don't know how to spend our money.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If blacks, our money don't even circulate twice. If we get it, we spend it out. Because if you think about how all the foreigners that come here from these so-called third world countries come to our communities and make their business and then pass on to another group and they live in the white neighborhoods, you should be incensed. I mean, I'm seeing foreigners sell barbecue now. Now, that blew my mind. I'm like, they sell a barbecue? Catfish things that we should be making money off of if we're going to sell it? But then, you know, these distribution companies, like, why aren't we getting mad at Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Nike for charges outrageous prices? Why don't we have black bottlers, you know, that distribute Coca-Cola? Black spend money. Problem is, we got church leaders and politicians that don't worry about it, let us handle it. And we've been letting them do it for so many years. Now we're apathetic. Like, I was doing videos, and people said to me, I'm not going to vote. I'm like, why are you not going to vote? Well, Obama ain't done nothing. I said, have you asked him for anything? Have you demanded anything? Now, I said, if he loses tonight, don't sit back and start complaining what Mitt Romney and Republicans are about to do. They've been telling you for the last 6 years what they want to do to you. You know, so we got to take a look in the mirror and say what we want to do. We can have our own businesses. We can control our destiny. But the thing is, we got to get those people in our community in order. If they don't want to get in order, push them to the side. Because there was one time we actually separated ourselves from the people who didn't give a damn. It seemed like those people who don't give a damn have become the face, the voice of our community.
Yep, and like, okay, but it's more than just them. You know, the thugs, the hood rats, all that, those are easy to identify. The worst ones that I can't stand is the ones that want to be at the master's table, and if they see anybody else,
The ones that play both sides.
Yeah, they'll actually be somewhere, and then if they see you coming up or see another sister coming up, they're trying to cut you down. That's a big difference I've seen between non-black folks and black folks. Non-black folks, I've seen it too many times. They'll get ahead. They'll take their brother, their sister, the father-in-law, the brother-in-law, all these different people with them. They don't throw it in their face that they helped them, nothing. They all doing good. Us, we get up, oh, no, you don't want nobody else to come with you because you're afraid you're going to lose your position. You're like, really? That's why we never get ahead, because we don't want to take nobody with us. And I just don't believe in that mindset that you can't take somebody with you on your way up. If a brother or sister got a good heart and they trying their best and you can lend a helping hand, you're not doing it for them, but you're lending a helping hand. Do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's enough for everybody to get.
Well, it is. That's why I have so many issues with Black Hollywood, especially Oprah Winfrey. When she was in Chicago, I remember when she first came to Chicago, she took over a show called AM Chicago. The original host, Rob Weller, went to go work for entertainment. Now, you know how people, they want to go to New York or Hollywood, become big reporters and whatnot. When she took over the show, and nobody expected last, because, you know, a black person on a television show that usually white people watching this was the third largest media market. But people wasn't counting on that black people didn't see black faces like that, especially a black woman. So it became like a little niche thing. And so it took off, it took off, it took off until she became the Oprah we know. But then she realized, in order for us to stay on TV, she had to cater to a certain audience. But she did it so much, it became routine. And that's why in the night you saw this change from the talk show format as it used to be to the touchy-feely thing. But she knew that after a while, white women and white men was going to get tired of seeing her, you know, be Oprah, Sister Oprah. So she got so deep in it, she stopped bribing the crew. So now you see everybody on TV giving away stuff. But in the process of doing that, She didn't hire any blacks around. She didn't give no black directors, production assistants, cameraman. The only black person she had was that black male who was doing the hair and stuff. And so she slowly forgot where she came from. But then I thought about it. I said, she is from the South. And I'm not trying to make any assumptions by everybody from the South. But those in Okra age group have a certain mindset. And I call it the slave mindset. If you can't do no without a white person, you can't survive. So she alienated a bunch of black people. But then she said, wait a minute, I got to go back. She said, who can I get that's not going to be threatening? Oh, let me go after the gay black male Democrats, and let me go after the black, bitter, angry, misinformed black woman demographic. And so that's how she became insulated by the black people that call out on stuff. Then when she decided she wanted to do a network, she made it into like a lifetime light. She insulted a lot of black people. And I don't know if you saw the videos I did about a year or so ago, and I warned that her network was going to start failing.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And people thought I was being paranoid. And I said, I watch enough television to understand this stuff. And I said, after a while, she's going to run back to the black community because we known to run to black celebrities and black politicians to give them no matter what. And now her network is in the green. It's profitable. So after a while, watch her change the format again and go back to looking at white folk. As blacks, we get desensitized because in the 90s, black women and gay black men was just eating Oprah up. But then when they saw how she changed, it's like, now you got all the people coming to my channel, oh, yeah, she's a house nigga. You right, Harvey. I'm like, I told y'all what she was. But y'all fall in love with fame and fortune. But y'all think if Oprah can do it, I can do it. Oprah was a chance of a lifetime. It's never going to happen. You know there's no black talk show host that ever got that famous because they don't want a black man to have that kind of stuff. That's why I say if they can get to the black woman and they can control her or manipulate her, they keep us at bay because we're too busy fighting each other. That's when this whole so-called gender war started. And we don't realize who our enemy is.
All right, Harvey, I got a call real quick. Caller 4153, you on the show. What's your name?
You're talking to me, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, 4153, Kiz Mac.
Oh, what's up, man?
Yeah, man, I just came in, and I just came from outside, and I just heard a dude talking about Oprah. You know, I just came in. What y'all talking about? Y'all just talking about Oprah or what else?
Well, we're talking about, you know, why is race still an issue in modern-day America, and he was talking about how Oprah basically, you know, was turning to her cooning self how she is today, and then her network started failing, as Harvey was saying. Now she want to go back to black folks to build her back up. And I seen what Oprah used to do anyway. Like, she used to really, she the one was one of the spearheads to start that gender stuff anyway, between
mm-hmm.
black
mm-hmm.
men and black women. I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
yeah,
her doing that.
You know what I'm saying? All this gender war stuff, this all started with some fortunate, but from what I see in my research, it all started with a lot of black females, you know. They bought into that feminism stuff. You know, they
mm-hmm.
followed white women, so, I mean, they followed them. So, but, I mean, feminism had nothing to do with black females, though. That was a white female thing that she was using to fight her own men. Black women didn't
mm-hmm.
have nothing to do with that, you know.
But see, let me add to that. Now, you notice that, like, anytime somebody got a movement, because they know black folks got the biggest mouth in the world, they want to use us for free, and we don't get paid anything. So, now, they use black women's mouth to promote their movement, okay? But notice,
yep.
The white woman is not alienated from her man at all. Her,
no,
she's still
not.
Intact with her man. She is. She still get, you know, treated like a woman by her man. Only thing she got out of the situation was, you know, equal pay for the job that she does, but she don't emasculate her sons. She don't try to emasculate her husband. She stay in line. But when it comes to the flip side, feminism has hurt the black family because look at the results. Look at it.
White women, they also the biggest beneficiaries off of welfare and affirmative action too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
When they show affirmative action, when they show welfare, they always got to show a black face. But it's the white. I mean, it's that white bitch who's benefiting off of it. You know what I mean? And you know, but they always show a black face, which, you know what I'm saying, is real deceptive. But they don't show no Asian faces. They don't show no white females. They don't show no Hispanics. They don't show no Arabs. They always show a black face. When they show welfare, when they show AIDS and when they show welfare, they always got to show the black face.
But that's the wicked genius of racism. They use your own people, insecurities, and thirst for power and fame. I mean, really think of this. Just think about it. When Oprah got rich, a lot of white men stopped whispering her, "Oprah, you're the greatest thing. You know, you need to do this. You need that. You need to stay away from this person. Don't talk about this. Don't talk about that." And I don't want to put all this on black women, but it seems, you know, you got to place it with blame where it is. They knew that they can get to our women and co-opt, and our women were jealous of white women. You know what I mean? They was looking like, I can do this, I can do that. So what happened was, she said, well, you know what, I'm going to get in and try to co-opt them. But they don't realize the white men and the white women have been the biggest deceivers on the planet for many, many years. So while the white women said, sister girl, you can come do this, they was with their man saying, baby, don't worry about it. We going to let them niggas do the heavy lift. That's why the Jewish community got us. Because they came and said, oh, don't you worry about us. We'll go in. We'll do the businesses. And we said, okay, boss, we'll march. And we'll be on the front line. And they get ahead, F you niggas. Because we are thirst for acceptance. This is why our people join cliques. This is why people do stupid stuff like on World Star Hip Hop. Because we're envious of other people. We want quick fame. We want it now. We don't want to make the sacrifices. And whether you agree with it or not, it is wicked genius how they've been able to manipulate us for 500 more years, use our own insecurities and fears against us, but they used our women and children. Because if a black man truly cares about his community, he's going to stand down in some respects, and that's what we messed up at.
Well, I think if you're with, I don't understand. How are you gonna go with the devil's daughter or the devil? How are you gonna follow? I mean, this is the woman's brother, father, that you're fighting against. What makes you think they're gonna want to help you when they're related to the enemy? I don't understand. Why would you even join their pack?
It's based off jealousy, brother. It's based off jealousy. You have to remember, while the black woman was working the fields, working the big house, the white woman was sitting under the tree drinking lemonade and being treated like a queen. And when she kept looking at her black man, not be able to give her those things, it built in resentment. So, you know, even to this day, you know how you hear women say, your father ain't shit, your brother ain't shit. This is the mindset that gets perpetrated, perpetuated years after years, and then on the subconscious level, you start to build resentment. Then black men start to get flustered, like, well, all she wants is monetary. That's all she wants me to do is buy and be flashy. So this resentment builds, and everybody's laughing. Because right now, like you said, white women benefiting from the action. The black women did all the heavy lifting. Noticing that Sandra Fluke thing, it was black women on TV defending that white woman. You know? And then when Stacey Dash did what she did, Sandra Fluke came out and chastised the black community. And nobody in our community got mad and said, wait a minute, our sister's out here defending your butt against Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, but now you're going to chastise the black community for chastising a black woman who's cooning. This is what they do.
I don't feel sorry when black women get criticized by white females with, I mean, if you don't learn nothing from history after 400 years, over 400 years, if you haven't learned nothing, you deserve what you get. Like, when I hear those same blacks who say, get over slavery, that's the past, but then something happens to them, I say, you deserve what you get. You know, I don't feel sorry for Oprah, and I don't feel sorry. See, I'm not the type of person, I'll forgive you once, but if you screw up again, nah, I say keep them out. You know what I'm saying? Let them learn. You know, don't keep accepting them back, and don't think, you know what I'm saying? You give them one chance, but if they screw up again, you got to keep them out. You know, that's why I say keep them out.
You know, but I want to add something. You know, why a lot of our people get alienated from each other, too, and you're talking about the ones who you say more so, like you say, the Harvey anomaly, or they just totally different, is that, like I stated before, you try to do things, you try to scale up, and your biggest ones is going to attack you. It's not going to be a racist white person or racist whoever. It's always going to be a black person that's going to come at you first. It's going to attack you the hardest.
It's just like what you call it. You know, Skip Gates, Henry Louis Gates, over here, like in Boston, right? Over there, he stays in Cambridge, right? Now he always had something to say about, you know, poor blacks and whatnot. But when he got arrested, then he's all of a sudden, you know, he's all of a sudden want to be down with the clique and all that. You know what I'm saying? When the whites turned against
him, I remember that.
Yeah, when them whites turned against him, when he got arrested, you know, he all of a sudden wanted to be down with, you know, the low-income blacks come over here like the Roxbury and whatnot. But I, you know what I'm saying, I already know dudes are Tom, you know, because I already know what the, what's the name called, dark Europeans. I'm already up on their game. I know how they operate. So I keep them, you know, them people are dangerous, you know. You shouldn't let, that's why I said you just need to separate. Like I said last time, there has to be a separation between different type of blacks. That's how I believe it. You know,
but I believe it too, because people get mad at me when I talk about this, and I'm not advocating violence, but I'm gonna tell you something. If another black man or black woman want to sell drugs or kill your own people, they're not worthy to walk among us because they're doing the work of the racist white person or the self-hating person of color. And then we sit back and we got church people pray for them. See, blacks got too much damn religion. You're practicing that white man's religion for the last 400, 500 years and haven't gotten anywhere. Because they say, pray or wait till you get to a better life. Wait a minute. We don't have any knowledge that it's going to be an afterlife. I mean, it'd be nice if it is. But right now, we got to live in reality. And the thing is, this is how they control us. They got us by religion. They got us by sex. They got us by media. They got us by education. And the brothers and sisters like ourselves could see through this. For years, they've been told, that's a troublemaker. That nigga's a troublemaker. Don't stay with him. He's going to get you in trouble. That's why I get angry or get kind of upset with blacks. Now you want to get mad at President Obama when y'all should have been asking questions during the campaign when he threw Reverend Wright and Farrakhan them under the bus. People that we've known for many, many years who have gotten out and spoke truth to power. Now, because he didn't get back the gays or wouldn't call them out on stuff or other communities, now y'all going to say, well, I'm not supporting them. You can't pick and choose. You got to be consistent all the way through, and we haven't been consistent. You know, like when we say we march, we didn't march. We didn't march. King and them marched. They made the sacrifice. We just became the recipients of certain things, but we allowed other people to come along and get fat. We're talking about this coalition. No other people talks about a coalition.
Yeah, this is something I always question black. But I'll get on Obama in a minute. But this is something I always question. I don't understand why blacks. I'm talking about the blacks about doing. I'm not talking about them no good niggas. But I'm talking about the blacks more. Why are they always trying to lump these? This is why I always question cats. Why are they always trying to bring these Hispanics, Asians, and Arabs? When I already know, because I've dealt with them for so many years. I already know what they're about. They only see black people as a tool to use to get ahead. I don't know, just because they're not white, that's supposed to make them different. That's why I understand why blacks are always talking about uniting with these people. These people show no interest. Blacks are the only people I hear use this term, people of color. They're the only people I hear use it. The mother ones, they don't use it at all. Only time they'll use it is when they need you for something like immigration. I remember when 9/11 happened, Arabs all want to be around black people, you know, because white people turned against them, then they'll start coming around the black community, start calling you brother and all that stuff. But I already knew it was a game. They just wanted to use black people as a shield. They wanted to hide, just like the Japanese during World War II. A lot of people didn't know this, but there were Japanese during World War II in the United States who hid amongst black people, you know, because racist whites had an issue with the Japanese here in America. So you have to read history, you know, because history always repeats itself. You know, that's why I never call these non-whites my brothers and sisters. Even some black people, you gotta work to get my respect for me to call you a brother or sister. But these non-whites, I definitely don't call most of them no brothers and sisters. That's out there.
Well, you know, I'm guilty of using those terms, and I call them generic terms. And let me say this, and I don't mean to get vulgar, but I've learned the art of my fucking people. You got to tell them what they want to hear, but that don't mean you got to do it. And that's our problem. We don't know how to mess with people's minds. See, when I take care of business, I already know what they know. And thank God I was born at the time I was, and thank God I had the mother and father, while not perfect, didn't lie to me. When I had negative experiences as a child, and I asked my parents questions about it like, Dad, what nigger mean? What this mean? He was sugarcoated because he grew up in Jim Crow. He came from Mississippi to Chicago. And I'm going to tell you, if anybody's not familiar with Chicago in the area, I'm telling you, Illinois is probably one of the worst states to be in when it comes down to, quote, unquote, race relations. So I had an education in trust me.
I don't know about the South.
No, I'm saying this.
You need to come over to Boston if you want to talk about racist whites. come over here. You'll see what it's like.
Well, you know what? Well, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Boston, Texas, and California. But what I'm saying is it's a special kind of hate here. When Dr. King came here in 1966, now Dr. King being in the South, he's seen fire hoses, but it's a special kind of hate up here. See, people have to understand.
Yeah, I remember what he said. I remember.
Yeah, because a lot of the racism that we get comes from other people of color, people who come from us. Whether they want to deny it or not, you cannot, the only people on this planet can produce various shades of color come from us. The skin features, the textures they got. And so what happened back during slavery, white folks realized they was outnumbered. They got spooked. That's why they left us alone for a short period of time. Then they realized, you know what, let's evaluate who the Irish are. Because people forget the Irish was treated like us. You know, they used to live in the same neighborhoods that we lived in co-op. So they said, we're going to give you the benefit of whiteness. Then they said, we're going to give you Italians, because a lot of people don't realize Italians, quote-unquote Asians and them, they was considered black at one point. But over the years, language changed. So now, this is where they always put that 12, 13% number out, which is a misnomer. We need to quit calling ourselves minorities when we're not the minority. Because if we were such a minority, they wouldn't give a damn about what we do. They wouldn't give a damn we vote. They wouldn't give a damn we live or breathe. Because if you're a minority, you have no voice, right or wrong.
When you say that, are you trying to include these other non-whites, or you just talking about blacks?
No. What I'm saying is years ago, and I've been reading books, and at one time, and a lot of these quote places that we call like Asia and stuff, if you still go back and study, I think it's a documentary called Hidden Colors. Every part of this globe, blacks was there. But either by genetics, by climate, or by God design, you start taking on different appearances. Because if you go to Africa, because I was watching this documentary, you have villages in Africa where no black person have come in contact with any white person, but their children have pale skin, green, blue eyes, straight, kinky hair, and it's been this misnomer. So they redefined. Look what they're doing now. At one time, you used to call somebody a mutt, mixed, zebra, multiracial. Now you're going with the term biracial because it's caused confusion. If you look at some of the younger brothers and sisters who grew up on Disney, MTV, I don't see color. I see white features. Take Halle Berry. She never told you hey, she had a white mom, you call her a nigga. President Obama never said he had a white mom, you call him a nigga. Alicia Keys, this is what they do. They got caused confusion. But when they keep having their nigga moments like Halle Berry just recently did with her white baby daddy, now you want to run back to community. Keep them out.
That's what I'm saying. Keep them out. No. Because that shows how much respect they have for you. That shows they don't even respect you. They think they can treat you any way, step on you, treat you like dog doo-doo. And the minute they're in trouble with white people, they want to come back to you. Nah, man, you ain't going to be using me like that. No other community does that. No other Asians don't do that to each other. I mean, I'm just saying in general they don't do that to each other. But blacks or these biracial things, they can do that to blacks. Nah, man, you ain't going to be doing that.
My biggest issue with black folks is I'm just so sick and tired of black folks begging. Like, I don't see no other community begging.
Me too.
Begging.
Me too.
I don't see Asians begging, Arabs begging, Latinos begging. Nobody be begging. I mean, like, we always trying to beg for acceptance, beg for a job, beg for an opportunity.
It's big.
That's what we don't
do.
Beg too much.
Yo, but then you just do a video saying how about this dude who I believe he was killed in Los Angeles, Jamil Shah. Then you started talking about how Latinos and blacks were all minorities and all that stuff.
They're
not the same as you, man. I don't know. No disrespect, but
let's keep it real. I'm talking about in the eyes of the people you're talking about right now. We all the same.
But see, they don't look. If you go to Los Angeles, some Mexicans are.
Okay. I've been to LA. I know how they are over there. It is a race issue over there between blacks and Latinos. I'm talking about the gangster ones because I went in the midst of blacks and Latinos when I went over there. And nobody done me nothing. But the thing is,
what makes you think it won't start happening over there in Texas? You know what I'm saying? It's like the thing about these Hispanics is that they switch. You know what I'm saying? They'll seem cool 1 minute, and then they'll switch. When you start giving these Hispanics power, see, you don't see it yet. I can see it over here, but when you start giving these Hispanics power, these same cool Hispanics, they're going to switch on you. You just don't see it yet. You know what I'm saying? These
people, you know what?
They're not consistent. These people will stab you on your back, man. You know, I mean, you know.
But this is my issue. I don't really depend on other people like that for my personal life. I mean, I'm the type of person, I just try to be cool with anybody and just keep it moving. But as letting you in my inner circle, letting you in my house, letting you in my life, that's different.
Okay, you don't see it now because, I mean, you got the good job and, you know, things are good right now. But once them Hispanics start growing even more, once they start becoming more citizens, once the Asian population starts growing, blacks here are going to be treated like the blacks, dark-skinned blacks in their country. And watch them see how they're going to start treating. Watch as the population, this Hispanic and Asian population, already in their country, they already look down on black people. They already got all these negative terms for blacks.
But you know what?
You know why they look down on us? You know why? Because we don't take over in economic power. They respect people only respect power. They don't respect nothing else. And every time we begging about something, or we too emotional about everything, we not taking over economically. People respect the dollar, the money. That's all they respect.
True.
We take over money. We take over business. We become more investors. Start flipping our money, becoming investors, and stop being consumers. And think about it. If most of your brothers in this country would have their junk together financially, they would have no choice but to respect you, because you ain't gonna beg nobody for nothing no more.
That's why I say Black Wall Street back in the 1920s, that was the best thing blacks ever had. But until that integration came, that is what destroyed black folks. If you come here, you got black people like on
I don't agree with that. I agree with that, but I don't agree.
Well, I don't know. That's kind of like oxymoronish. But
no, I agree with you. I agree, but I don't agree. What I don't agree is this. We get after Black Wall Street was destroyed, we gave up the idea of everything. They could destroy it all day. But the fact is, we decided to give up on self-sufficiency. And we've been on this perpetual spiral ever since then to depend on somebody, depend on the welfare, depend on the food stamps, depend on somebody to help us out of all our problems. The American government, give us a program.
You know what the
problem is?
With our people, we live in perpetual fear. And we ain't learned to put superstitions to the side. See, I go back to saying, if you can emasculate and control the black man, control his woman and child, they put us against each other. See, my thing is, when we talk about Black Wall Street, we don't talk about what happened during and after. They use force. And a lot of people in our community made a decision. Do I want to be hung from a tree or be floating in a river and just keep living? And they played the devil's advocate, and they said, you know what, I want to keep my family, I want to keep living. And we kept doing over and over, saying that we're going to change one day, but it never happened. And you pass this mindset on to each generation. This is why, like we were saying earlier, those brothers and sisters in our community who stand up and call stuff out, we're looking at as a threat because we didn't fall into it. You know, we said, I can't keep doing this. This is why I say those black men, black women, black children who are weak-minded, we got to make a decision to push them to the side because they're dead weight. Because all they are is a cancer to our other people. Because, I mean, first of all, we as black people need to start questioning who's teaching our children when we send them off to school. That's the problem. You got white women and white men, especially white women, standing over our boys and girls, telling them that if your mommy and daddy yell at you, that's child abuse. They already start poisoning your child there. Then you got the white man at work pushing up against you. Hey, Harvey, man, you're a cool guy. And they pat you on the back and you're like, oh, man, this is a cool white guy. He know how to mind screw you. Then they get to your woman and say, Diane, you're sure gorgeous today. He stopped. Let me take you out to lunch. Then that leads to the bedroom. So they didn't mess everybody up at some point. So now all y'all thinking that they love y'all, but they really like, we got those niggas running around, don't know which way to go. And then the brother and sister that see and say, stop. They said, nah, what's wrong? They good white folk. That's the first thing we do. Look what gentlemen came back. I don't know if y'all remember back when it was the 40th anniversary of the King assassination. Now, a lot of blacks seem to forget that John McCain voted against the King holiday. Now, when King was assassinated, John McCain was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. But he had enough hatred to come over and vote against the King holiday back in the 80s. So when he was running for president, he knew that he could just get in off the white vote. So let me go to Memphis, stand by the site and apologize. And you know the first one to say we forgive you was a black woman, older black women who knew better. This is how they co-op. I keep telling y'all, they co-op our women and children, and then they emasculate the black men. This is why there's been this push to see homosexuality on television. I don't know if you watch the show True Blood on HBO. The only black male character in the show is gay, and I ain't talking about just gay. He's super gay. Every white man is like, we can hold around. Then they got this black woman playing the strong, angry stereotype. Now she's gay. This is what they do. They say they kill themselves and they won't reproduce. This is how we kill them out. And then you got those who are self-hating, want to identify as everything else but black. This is why I say we need to quit calling ourselves mixed, biracial, or quit talking about, let's not talk about race. Everybody else do. Little white kids, before they can crawl, walk, and talk, are told that we're the enemy. We don't do that stuff. We don't do it. Everybody else tell you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was listening to what you said about how them white kids, you know what I'm saying, how they're taught that, you know, blacks are the enemy, you know. But my thing is that blacks have never done anything to these other groups, but everybody is hating on black people. See, the difference between me and some other blacks is I have no mercy for these other groups, whites, Hispanics, none of them, because if they hate me, I just look at them as the enemy. I don't feel no mercy for no whites if they're in two tall skyscrapers and they get brought down. I have no mercy for whites that are shot up in movie theaters. I don't have no mercy for them at all, and I'm serious about that. Now, if you're a cool white, I'm talking about a sincere white, all right, you cool. But the majority of I just want, you know, just finish this one. When I look at them photos of all the stuff they did to blacks, all the lynchings, the stuff I read like Without Sanctuary, things like that, but then they're taught, then they go around after all centuries of doing all that evil to black people, then they want to teach their kids and have this, you know, have these racist meetings talking about, you know, put on blackface and do all this stuff. You expect me to love these people and forgive these people? I don't, man. I don't have no mercy. Like when I hear about whites getting shot, killed, I just put a smile on my face, man. I have no mercy for them. I just don't. I mean, why should I? If you love white people after all that evil they've been doing to you, then you the sick person. I'm not no sick person. I just laugh when I see it happen.
Well, let me interject in that. So basically what you're saying is, I need to clear that up, because you're saying that if a white person's a good person, you're fine with them, but are you saying that you hate white people in general, and if something happened to them, you're happy about it? I mean, I'm trying to understand fully your position.
Yeah, about 11 years ago, when I was looking on my TV and I was reading stuff that was happening in New York City, I didn't have no mercy for them. I just didn't care. You know, this is not something, I was not born like this. This is like from my experiences with them and the stuff I've read. When you read your history and the things they do and how they try to discriminate against you, how racist they are, there's just the evil in them. And these people need to be, you know, I feel they should just be wiped off the face of the planet.
Well, I don't feel that way about people.
That's the weakness that.
But that, how is that weakness? Human beings are human beings. They got evil in every race, man. I mean, it's evil.
No,
I'm sorry. It's evil in every race.
See, that's not true. You know, if you really
evil in every race. Hold on. So let me ask you a question. Who would be the quickest to kill you, like, or take you down, or assassinate your character, or do something to you? Because I can guarantee you who do it quickest to me.
Yeah, you're talking about
the people you're talking about.
Okay,
I'm being real.
Person, right? Yeah, a black person,
yeah.
But you gotta understand something. I feel what you're saying, but...
Let me finish.
Okay.
It's like, who has talked the most about my color and tried to make me feel like something's wrong with my color? It wasn't no racist white person that did it. It was black folks. Who talked about my features as African in nature and tried to make me feel bad about that? It wasn't racist white folks. It was black folks. Who tried to do me the most wrong in my lifetime that I can remember? It wasn't no Klan or neo-Nazi. It was black folks. So I can't go on that notion unless somebody physically done me something. Is the history there? Yes, it's there. A lot of the horrible things have been done. But if somebody's cool with me, I'm going to be cool with you. I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying? I can't treat everybody like that. That's me. I don't feel that somebody should get shot and killed. How does that make me any better than them? How does it make me better?
Like that said, that humanity has been beaten out of me. And I don't, you know what I'm saying, they don't have that same humanity. Just look at what that female
well,
New
York City.
Well,
you can't say they because you don't know all they.
Well, the majority of them, when you see, like, they see that black female.
Do you know the majority?
All they saw was the black, huh?
Do you know the majority of them?
Well, I can go by statistics, you know, just my personal statistics, you know.
Okay, yeah,
but,
okay. That's
but
good.
My thing,
your personal experiences have, in different areas you've ever been in, you're talking from your personal experience. Now, I'm going to flip this for a minute. There are some white guys that talk just like you that say every time a black person gets killed, I'm happy because of the experiences I've had with them. They don't work. They don't this. They don't that. Now, if you heard a white guy say the exact same thing you just said, how would you respond to that?
That's in their nature. That's been in their nature for centuries when we weren't like that. We always been wanting to love and get along with white people. I'm just the type of person, I just been awoke. I just have awakened, you know what I'm saying? That's the difference between me and the other black folks who just want to love and get along with white people. And going back to what you were saying about how a black person is quick to attack you and do this to you, you got to understand that black people have been conditioned for over 400 years psychologically. They've been destroyed. They're not in their right nature. They're not in their right mind. That's something you got to – but that's something that you're kind of missing out on. They've been destroyed mentally, man. They've taken on the oppressor's ways. But see, white people,
Should they get a pass? Should they understand? Oh, hold on. Since they're black, should they understand that, dog, you know, we went through all this stuff. We're dealing with stuff. If anybody should be treating you better, it should be somebody that look like you.
I feel what you're saying, but not all black people treat me foul either. You know what I'm saying? I can't say that.
I didn't
all
say
of
they did.
Foul.
I didn't say it did. I always say this first. A snake come in every color. And I've lived life long enough to see it.
Can I interject, brothers? Let me say this. I understand what brother's saying about his anger and frustration. I understand your thing. But I'm going to tell you what the problem is. We've been made to feel guilty. I'm not saying it's necessarily right to say alpha or nah. But we've been made to feel guilty for having those feelings. I don't think there's any wrong with black people not trusting or being angry towards white people or people of color who sided with them. It's just that when you act out those things, don't deny what you feel. It becomes a problem when you say, I want to play alpha and not, because you don't become better than them. You, in fact, have let them condition you or turn you into something that you say you is repulsed by hatred. That's the wickedness of racism. Don't deny it. I never hear people tell Jewish people, don't hate those who despised them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we sit back and we say they sit back and they thrive off. The problem is we don't focus it in a positive direction. See, this is what I was telling you earlier. We fight so many battles. We fight each other because we've been conditioned, because deep down we can't do nothing to touch them. This is why I tell people, if we are such a minority, if we're so vulgar and violent, they would say, you know what, you Negroes want to live by yourself, live by yourself. I mean, think about it. Look at your YouTube channel, my YouTube channel. How many times do we get white trolls coming through? They have a sick obsession with us. And so instead of us trying to be kumbaya with them, you ignore them and keep coming at you more and more. So after a while, you just start to have this hatred towards them because you're like, I don't mess with them, don't want to be around them. Don't deny your feelings. It's just when you act on it, that's when they've won. Look, I'm going to tell you, now, I don't know every white person. I'm not going to say every white person is racist. But who I come in contact with, and when they do something, see, we do stuff on the short term, the then and there. White people do it for the long term. They want your children to feel what happened to you. You know what I mean? We ain't learned how to channel our anger and frustration. We lash out at each other because we know nobody's going to come in and tell us, hey, man, you don't attack your own brother and sister. You don't attack your mother or father the guy down the street, because deep down we're frustrated. And we talk, you know, we think they can't do it. We can't do anything to them. But think about it. If we control our dollar, we start telling our people our history. Don't let anybody interpret it. We'll be better off. The Asians had a bomb dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We said, we're going to fix you Americans. We're going to let y'all come in. We're going to smile in your face and bow. But we're going to have our people working on things. We're going to stop buying stuff from under you. That's how they got power. Everybody comes to this country, and it gets fed off us, and we don't realize it. I don't know why we don't sit there and say, wait a minute, how can somebody come from a quote-unquote third-world country, come to the black community, get a business loan, or go get public assistance, but yet we're the face of all negative? This is why I say world-star hip-hop, and some of these YouTube channels and some of these black celebrities have done us a disservice. Because they play into these stereotypes, they play into these angers and fears, and people thrive off of it. Don't deny your feelings. Don't sit there and say, hey, I should feel bad because I hate somebody. I'm not going to tell brother not to feel that. But what I say, don't go out there and start acting the way they are, because then you let them, you've given them power.
I don't put my hands on anybody. You know, I don't, you know, I deal with white people all the time. I don't put my hands on anybody. You know, I'm just, this is just how I would feel if that happened to them. You know, I believe you defend yourself if somebody tries to harm you, but I don't touch anybody. White people, they don't put their hands on me. You know, they respect me, I respect them. You know, but I just know how wicked they are, how wicked and evil they are.
See, my thing is, like I always say, I know from personal experience, hatred, no matter who you hate, whether it's a female, another dude, another race of person, whatever, it's something that consumes you and ruins you. I know this from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
mm-hmm.
I don't want no hatred in my heart toward nobody, because it's going to hurt me. I'm not worried about nobody else. I'm worried about my heart. I'm worried about how it affects my choices, how I raise my children with all this hatred in my heart. And unfortunately, there are people in this world that have a lot of hatred in their heart toward other people, and they teach their children this.
I mean, you got to
understand.
I mean, if you got hate coming at you from every angle, I mean, how can you can't just act, you're supposed to just love everybody. I mean, that doesn't make
sense. Who said you're supposed to be loving everybody? You're supposed to be, you know, wise as a serpent and harmless like a dove. In other words, I don't trust everybody to come my way. I don't trust nobody. I don't know you. I don't know you further than I can spit. So why am I going to trust you? To me, trusting you is like letting you into my home, letting you around my family, letting you in my inner circle. That's me trusting you. I don't know you. I don't know nobody, so why I'm going to trust you like that? And see, some people are too trusting. I agree with that, but I'm not like that. I was raised, you don't trust nobody. People got to earn your trust.
I think the problem with we as black people, we haven't learned balance. That's the problem. We haven't learned balance. We haven't learned to have these honest feelings, but don't project them or use them in a way that's going to benefit us. This is why I gave the example about those in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They had a bomb dropped on them. They was burnt, and they said, we knew we couldn't go against America at that time because we were left in a weakened state. So what we did was we went in, we shut them jive for about 30, 40 years, but we were slowly sending our people over here learning the American system, doing what we had to do. Now we at their mercy. You see what I'm saying? We don't know how to play the game. Everybody know how to play the game. See, people watch us go through slavery and Jim Crow, all the discrimination. They said, we're not going to be like them. Well, our enemy, what they say? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know what I'm saying? So they said, we're going to go in and befriend white America or white people in general, but we're going to be plotting and putting our stuff in motion. We want to just want everybody to love us. We forgive everybody, but don't forgive ourselves. That's our problem. We suffer from intense self-hatred and fear. Think about in every one of our communities, I don't care what state you're from, we got a borderline. We won't cross in. We'll do all hell of shit in our community, but we won't go into the white neighborhood and mess around because they instill this fear. Oh, the white men, the white women, they're going to do something to us. But we have no problem doing that to each other because we acting now. I'm not condoning it, but you have to understand where it comes from. This stuff exists on a subconscious level, and it manifests itself every day. I mean, think about it. They come in our community. There's no gun shops in our community. We don't own no gun shops because they don't trust us with guns. But what they do, somebody comes in, open up their little van or trunk or put their little corner store in there and say, here, take this gun. Going to make you feel like a man. The first time you fire a weapon, you think you're big and bad. So you get used to it. And then people in law enforcement will possibly say, don't take no law in your hands. We don't want no vigilante justice. So after a while, you neuter the people in your community who can probably deal with it. Like I was telling people in one of my videos, if y'all want to get rid of this crime, let the brothers and sisters that have military training or the brothers and sisters that know about law, let us go in here and let us handle it. No, you might hurt my grandson or my granddaughter. Your grandson and granddaughter is a terrorist. They're terrorizing their own people. We got to decide whether or not we want that type of element to exist because we can't fight the racist, we can't fight the self-haters, and we can't fight the murderer at the same time. We can't do that. There's too many things we're doing. This is why racism is so wicked. It's evil genius because they knew what they were setting in motion. And we don't realize it, and we keep fighting the same battles over and over. But there are brothers and sisters saying, if you control your dollar, control what goes on in your household, and stop putting your faith into the Bible, that white man's Bible, the black community would thrive. Sunday mornings, people get up early morning. Some people sit in church from sun up to almost sundown. Then Monday through Saturday, raising holy hell. And we don't call them out because we're afraid somebody's going to call
you know
you
what?
A
now
black.
I'm going to finish that because I need to talk about the Bible. Go ahead. Finish that. I want to interject on that Bible.
Well, no, go ahead.
There's the thing about
No.
Ain't no offense here. We all talking. This is the deal about the Bible. Black folks, it's a difference between following Christ and being religious. Religious, like you're just going through the motions. I'm gonna say most black folks are just religious. They go to the church just to say they go in the church. They don't apply anything out of that Bible, because if they applied anything out of the Bible in their personal life, they wouldn't be doing twerk team. They wouldn't be having baby after baby, because the Bible don't teach you to be sleeping around. It teaches you actually to get married and form a family, something that we used to do, okay? The Bible don't teach you to go kill folks and beat on women and all the other stuff, so you don't even read it to even know what they're talking about. So half of these folks you're talking about don't even know a scripture out of the Bible, because for me, you know, me personally, I've read the Bible a few times, and I refer to it in certain things, and it's helped me change my life a lot. Even in the way I think, it helped me change my life. And so when I hear people say something about the Bible, I say half of these folks don't even read it anyway. So they don't even know what they're talking. They go off the word of the pastor. That's their problem. They're drinking that old Jim Jones Kool-Aid from that pastor that's twisting the Bible to make them think what they're thinking, and I guarantee you can contradict them all the time. I contradicted a pastor recently on what he was doing. I said, you know, I said, how many people you got in your church? He said, oh, about 100 some odd people, this and that. I said, well, I said, do you ever address any problems in the community? And we was in the barbershop. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, I said, the single parenting rate is very high. I said, what are you preaching at your church to talk about this? Well, you know, people know right from wrong. I said, that's not the question I asked you, sir. I said, I just want to know, what are you teaching them? You know, but you teach them the tithe. Oh, you got black women support the black church. Yes, they do. They support the black church and weave. Yes, they do. And they not learning anything. How you going to get out of church on Sunday morning and then you're going to be in the club doing twerk team? And these a lot of these preachers are pimping them out. Like, it's coming out every day. These preachers are smashing these chicks in churches, smashing on them.
You talking about down there in Houston?
I'm talking about it all over the United States. A lot of these preachers are pimps.
Yeah,
a lot of them. Pimping these women. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the black folks, back in the day when King and them was around, and even Malcolm X, you had the Nation of Islam, you had the Black Baptist Church, whatever. Those movements came out of basically, you want to say, religious organizations, if you think about it. Those men felt convicted in their heart to do something because they wanted to help their people in service to God. That's how they felt. That's why they did what they did and why they lost their life, too. If you think about it.
They can't respect them. Like, a lot of them preachers, man, A lot of them just...
This day and time, it's hard, too. Because back in the day, man, think about it. All this stuff with the Klan, all that, everybody gathered at the church, man. The pastor, you know, telling them what's up. They'll be trying to organize things, whatever. It all started at the church.
Yeah, that's the church. The church back, you know, decades ago was like the meeting ground. It wasn't just the church, but it was the meeting ground for the black community come together, talk about issues going on. But now, man, it's just nothing but a circus now, just the ways of making money. That's all it is. It's unfortunate. I mean, you still got, like, for one, there's one here that feeds the homeless, and there's another one in Boston that it turns into a shelter at night. But a lot of them, man, just about on every corner, man, it's about getting money. That's all they're about.
A lot of them are. Cause like, back home, you know, like, you got a church on every block, but then you got people hanging out doing drugs, and you're not getting out and saying nothing about anything in the community. I say, what are you doing with a church then? You need to just close up shop. Go somewhere else.
You're from Houston, or you're from originally from California?
No, I'm not from California. I'm originally from Port Arthur, Texas.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, that's where I'm originally from. So, you know, I just live in the Houston area now. But, you know, the South is very religious, more than any other spot in the nation. The South is considered the Bible Belt. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, interesting. Never been down there, so, I mean, I don't know. I've been to the South, like, over in, like, Atlanta and Florida, but not that part of the South. So, you know, I mean, I heard it's slow over there in Texas. I mean, it's like, especially, like, on Sundays.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, it's more laid back down here. It really is in a lot of ways versus maybe some other places. I wonder, it looks like Harvey, he must have dropped his call. Well, anyway, he probably called right back. It's more laid back than most of your spots. So, you know, versus, huh?
No, what is Fifth Ward? What is that?
What is it? Yeah, Harvey, you lost. Yeah, dropped your car, huh, Harvey?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's the weather's up here. It's really windy up here.
Oh, yeah, Chicago, huh?
Yeah,
what's Fifth Ward in Houston? What is that? I know that from, like,
the hood,
Ghetto Boy.
The hood.
Okay,
all right. The hood that you don't want to be in.
Now, you say you all have trains? Are they run all night, or you don't have any trains there?
Well, they have a metro. They have the Houston Metro Rail that's in downtown.
How often does it run? How late? What's the latest?
Don't give me the line. I don't live downtown. I live on the outside of the city. I live most, like I say, more so toward the water. So,
yeah, because cats tell me Houston and Dallas, you know, because I probably want to check it out. Like Houston, they're okay, right? They're cool to visit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, nobody's going to bother you. Everything's fine. I mean, I don't live in places like that.
Can I interject real quick? I want to say something.
Go ahead.
I don't want to insult anybody. What I mean about religious, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. I do believe in higher power. What I think our people have done is we put too much into the Bible, you know, and we've taken those principles of stand down, love thy neighbor, pray for peace, and we've been doing it over and over. And we don't realize that nobody else practiced those principles. So I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea that I'm bashing religion or anybody's belief system, anything like that. And about the violence in these different cities, it goes back to who we allow to come into our communities. We're too busy being trusting of the people coming out of community. I'm telling you, I know how the gun stuff coming out of community. I'm pretty sure you gentlemen do too. You have people coming to mom and pop stores. You have law enforcement officials. You have people come in, sell guns out of trunk in their cars. They get weak-minded, impressionable people. And once a person fired a weapon, I was in the military, and I know when you fire that weapon, you do get arrogant. You do get cocky. And then when we start using it on each other, people in politics say, wait a minute, you know, there are some people in the community that's not going to go for that. So we got to change the laws. We got to make them feel as if they're in the wrong. Because I don't know if you watch some of my videos where I said that we need to learn how to use these laws against those people who perpetrate crimes against us. You know how much hate
I'm listening.
You know how much hate you get what?
I think he got disconnected.
No, he's still on. He said there's a lot of wind up there where he's at. He's still on. He haven't disconnected it yet.
See, I agree with him too. You bet all these outsiders coming to the community, set up shop, you know, sucking the community dry. For one, it shouldn't be supported.
President Obama won.
He did?
Yeah, he's elected.
He barely won or was like?
Yeah, it was barely. Man,
wow.
It was barely.
Somebody sent me a video on my old channel. I need to look at it, where Farrakhan warned that if Obama's elected.
I saw it. Don't cheer. When he was telling, but you know, remember O.J. Simpson was acquitted?
Yeah.
And how blacks got caught on camera cheering, and all they did was piss white America off, and they had a mad on for every black man, including O.J. Simpson. You know how many brothers that got convicted behind that Simpson case? So he's basically saying to the black community, okay, he won. That don't mean that things are going to work in our favor. You know what I mean? He was telling you to be cautious. I knew exactly what he was saying.
See, this is why I'm not into I've lost interest in this election, this Obama stuff. That's why I'm not falling for all this hype, because he's been in there for 4 years. I mean, people say blacks did set they did ask bring up the idea of reparations, he was against it. There was some other stuff that he brought up too, that Black brought up too, and you know, he came with that same old pull yourself up by your bootstraps story. He's gonna be in there for 4 years. He's gonna be in there for 4 years again, and Black is still gonna be complaining about jobs,
you know what, brother?
Racism, and all this other stuff.
But you know what, brother? I'm gonna tell you something. That's our fault. When he was running, now I wasn't doing videos on YouTube, but I was trying to get my people. I wasn't an Obama supporter or a Clinton supporter. I was supporting Kucinich because, you know, he seemed more like he was going to be out there and get out there and do the thing that, you know, we would like for him to do. And I kept telling people, you have to remember, this man has a white mother. He was raised by white people. He may look like us, but he may not think like us. He's not a descendant from slaves like you and I are. So when he was running...
Yeah.
When he was running, we should have been asking these questions of him. The moment Black America, like he's about to ask for something, our so-called coalition of friends told us he's not the Black president. Our Black celebrities like Steve Harvey, Michael Bates, and Tom Joyner, and them told us to shut up, don't say nothing. The Congressional Black Caucus told us not to say nothing. Now, we can be mad at President Obama, which I do have issue with him, but the people we need to be mad at, the people that we see every day, we made millionaires. When Tavis and them were saying, hey, we got to demand something, we threw them under the bus. So now it's up to us. See, we vote and then walk away. White people, they vote and keep pressing. You see what I'm saying? We figure one person supposed to lead and do everything because we got used to one Black person speaking. That's why when they killed Malcolm and killed King, it gets some psychological to us. Remember how people said if Obama win, he was going to be assassinated? If you don't remember, go on YouTube and listen or read the comments or ask some older Black person. My grandmother, still to this day, she worried that somebody's going to take a shot at President Obama. Why did America do that? They know what would happen.
I don't care anything about this Obama dude, man, because he don't care nothing about Blacks. He don't care nothing about Blacks or you know.
But you know what? But we don't
care
about ourselves.
That's a big, you know, we don't care nothing about ourselves. That's certain Blacks, but that's not all Black people. There are Black people who do care about. Another thing, Obama's an African. He's not. I don't look at Africans or Black Americans. We're different people. We're not the same. Totally.
Man, I'm
going to
tell you this much about Obama. I don't know how he thought about himself before, but he didn't got a rude awakening in these 4 years about how they think about
him. He got his nigga moment.
Remember, he was trying to say
he was biracial. They treat him. See, that's why I keep telling people, I don't care if you got a white mama, white daddy, they still look at you as a Black person. They look at you as a nigga. And they hate his wife more than they hate him.
Yeah.
Notice
the she's a dark-skinned Black woman.
She's a dark-skinned descendant of slaves. See, this is why they do this. He's Kenyan. He's not one of us. But see, I got to understand something. Politicians, like the president, they're figureheads. They are never meant to do the bidding of the people. They do the bidding of corporations, the military industrial complex. This is why I say we as Black people have to stop telling the world our plans and say, okay, you know what I'm going to do? Let's go to this church right here in California and talk to this mega church and say, what can you do with the community? What can you do to get jobs? What can you do to buy property? Because a lot of people don't know the churches have tax exemptions. They can go acquire property and turn it back and use it for charitable purposes and stuff, right? That's how you start. That's how white people do. Then you go get a brother and sister and go put it in the damn trust. Do what they do like in the Cayman Islands and stuff. You stop moving your money around. Then you go get another like-minded Black man and say, okay, you did this in California, you do this in Arkansas, you do this in Texas, Chicago, New York, whatever. And you can make a networking. You don't get on TV and flash your money. You don't get on TV and tell them what you're doing. But we like to show everything. We don't know the art of, like, you just keeping it quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we want to be flashy. We got money.
Flashy.
We got to walk around with stacks of money. Throwing it in a strip club to them stupid hoes instead of
exactly.
See, that's the difference.
Exactly.
Like Floyd Mayweather was doing that the other day on a video in Club Fetish here in Houston, just throwing out hundreds of dollar bills at these hoes. And then that's what white men, they keep their money on their platinum card somewhere. You don't know what they got driving a regular car, but I guarantee they got millions of dollars sitting in a bank.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why I get mad when I see Black men who have businesses. They want to put their face in everything. You don't do that. All you do is pissing off white folks. That nigga got a business. I ain't buying his product. That's why I say BET was never going to get it, because Robert Justice, what he should have did is changed the format of his network. Okay, we're going to put some black shows on, but we're going to go out there and put white comedies on. So make white people still welcome. Because the moment we put black in front of something, we kill our chances at business. You don't see Asians saying Asian soda or this and that. They don't do that. They just go out there and say, this is soda. You buy it if you don't. You know what I mean? You don't see McDonald's saying this is a white-owned business. Because you'd be surprised. A lot of these corporations in America are not white-owned anymore. But we want everybody to share it. And that's why I say these brothers are getting on, what's that, MTV Cribs? That was the dumbest thing you ever did. You flashing money. Because what's the first thing white people say when a black person is rich? That's too much money. What are they going to do with all that money? We don't say that with white people because we don't care. We don't think that way. We want to, that's why my brothers do those music videos, throwing that money. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing you ever do. Because they're going to say, is that taxable money? What are they doing with their money? Oh, we got to go invest. That's why every rich black man has gotten the tax man to come after, because you don't control your money. The first thing you're supposed to do when you get some money, buy you some damn real estate.
And you know,
let that money sit in the bank.
It's true what you said about how white people operate. See, and I can kind of respect, even though it might seem sneaky, but they
gotta,
do it.
You gotta respect
the game for what it is.
They move in silence. They don't say anything. They just move in silence. It's like you would never know what they did. They just move in silence.
And look what they do. Look what they do to sports, these young brothers. They go play sports for these high school and college teams. They don't get no profit in it, right? That's why I say they need to stop paying these young, because you're not guaranteed to make it to the pros. Then you make a pro, they go get you a Jewish attorney or lawyer. Then what they do, they guide you to the clubs where all the white girls are dancing, because they know you're going to have sex with them. And they're going to keep that money. You're going to have little white babies or little mixed babies, and they're going to keep that money circulating with them. Think about it. Derrick Rose, he's from Chicago. What the first thing Derrick Rose do? He went and bought an apartment at Donald Trump, Trump building downtown Chicago. Now, if you see Donald Trump on TV talking about not just the president, but the black community every day, you're going to go get his racist your money? That's what the product of being in a single-parent home. He should have went and bought him a home somewhere in the burbs, paid cash for it, so if he lose all his money, at least I got that property. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never understand them cash. They sit up there and lease everything instead of buy everything cash, and then you could, if you get in money trouble, you can just sell it.
That's what I'm saying. You can sell it. You can turn around with, like, Antoine Walker. He's from Chicago. He lost over $100-something million. Now he's paying $900. He can't afford a mortgage. I live in a home. I didn't see the money.
Antoine Walker.
Antoine Walker. He played with Boston Celtics.
Yeah. I was about to say.
Yeah, Chico Evelyn Lozada was with for years.
He's broke now. He bought his mama a home out here in one of the suburbs. I forgot. I think it was in the southern suburbs. And what happened was he was buying cars. He got into real estate, but he wasn't watching his property. He wasn't signing the checks. Like, first thing you do, if you get some money, you say, wait a minute. You get a lawyer. Hey, I'm going to read the law. This is what I want. Nothing gets signed unless I sign it, unless I look over it. You know what I mean? And then you want to go get your friends and hangers on. Look, I'm sorry. I mean no harm. I want to help our people to a degree, but if they don't want to help themselves, I got to let them be where they at. I can't save the hood. I can't do
it. Your job.
That's what we messed up at. That's what Hammer messed up at. He meant well. He really meant well, but people bled him dry. When he lost all that money, he became a punchline. You see what I'm saying? I don't understand why brothers, like, this is why when I said, look, was that Chief Keef and Lil JoJo, when they had the videos throwing the money at the camera, they think that's something. You know what I mean? Like, when people kept saying Michael Jackson was broke, I wish I was rich person broke. He's rich. He was rich person broke. You know what I mean? It's a difference between being broke and rich person broke.
Well, I'm gonna tell you the difference, too, between black men versus white men. The first thing white men do is get married. Black men know they want to be the perpetual bachelor. That's what they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they blow their money at, hoes. And then they get caught up on child support.
That's nothing but a con to get you attorney locked in the system, because once they got you on child support, you can't get out of it, because you're paying money to that child and that child mother for 18 or 21 years, and then she ain't got her personal receipt saying what she spent that money on. You know what I mean?
I know, because I pay child support.
That's why I don't have any kids right now, because, like I said, I want to get married, man, but my mother and father told me, if this woman ain't on the same wavelength you on, don't do it. If you have sex, you better take precautions because, as I said before, our people have been conditioned to cut each other's throats. You know what
yep.
I mean? I have family
this
members
is why,
out
and
here.
See, this goes back when you talk about Oprah or whatever. See, it's like when you get to certain spots, it's like you put in a compromising position, too, because if you stick to black folks and everything that we want you to do as black folks is one thing, then you want to get ahead, you got to kind of lessen what you're doing. You know, so it's like some of them, I see why they did what they did and why they were not around a lot of black folks, too. I do see it. You know, but then they go too far with it to the point they're cooning. And then they made a fool, like Oprah was made a fool out of. She thought she was going to get that network and just, oh, she was going to be the next great thing, and then it was about to fall on her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't
realize that NBC, CBS, and Fox and wasn't going to allow it. Because I'm going to tell you something, a lot of people don't know that Disney owned ABC, ESPN,
yes,
and now they just bought George Lucas' Star Wars franchise, and they own
yep.
Marvel Comics.
They do.
And people don't know that Comcast and GE own NBC, MSNBC, Universal Pictures, USA. A lot of people don't know that Paramount, which is Viacom, owns CBS, BET, MTV, Nickelodeon. You know, people don't understand these corporations because Reagan deregulized and stuff back in the late 80s and stuff. So they don't know that Rupert Murdoch own Fox and all this stuff, just different stuff, and Pepsi own Yum Brands, which own KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and Frito-Lay. I used to work for Yum Brands, you see? So people don't understand how money works. And so when black people get money, we're like, oh, we in the big leagues. Like the moment they said Tyler Perry made more money than Steven Spielberg, all the gay jokes stopped. I mean, the black community, we always criticized him. But now he's a walking target now. They say, we can't let that nigga go out here and think he's got, you know what I mean? Notice his movies have been flopping lately?
Yeah. Ooh,
which one? You talking about
Tyler Perry. His movies ain't making the money.
He's not making money anymore. I'm going to say this much. The reason why he possibly having some issues with his movies is because he keeps presenting the same product. It's the same storyline. People get tired of it eventually, so he's going to have to flip it and switch it up. Like, but the Madea character is funny. I get that because that Madea character reminds me of all the old grandmas I'm used to back home. Trust me. That's why it's funny for me.
But you do have to question the timing. I mean, look how long that Madea character been going. You know what I mean? And now the moment they say he made more money than Steven Spielberg, Harvey Weinstein, and Jeffrey Katz and all of them, all of a sudden, his movie starts flopping, and then they start making jokes. You know, I'll give you an example. Let me give you another better example. Before Chris Brown became the Chris Brown we know, we just knew the brother and Rihanna is singing and dancing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the moment before Michael Jackson died, Michael Jackson said he, like, anointed Chris the next new hot thing. I remember Chris, when he was dancing and doing Michael Jackson better than Michael Jackson at that time. And little white girls were taking notice of that. And the Jonas Brothers was hot at that time. And Justin Bieber was coming up. They said, no, 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 we can't have that. So when that incident with him and Rihanna happened, you know, the media blew it up more than what it should be. And then they went to Rihanna and went to Jay-Z and said, look, you stay away from that little punk. And Rihanna knew she wanted to get back with him. But she couldn't do it because Jay-Z was the front man. Because you know how everybody loves Jay-Z now, but people forget that he was a drug dealer and everything. You know what I mean? So what they do
yep.
is they manipulate images, and they tell us, they pick the moments where they want us to be cool and stuff. So after a while, Rihanna started going around Chris because she loved him. Now she's a hole in their eyes now. You see what I'm saying? If you go on the website, every freaking week, it's something against Chris Brown because they do not.
Yeah, they won't leave him. Yeah, they won't keep his name out of their mouth. I admit that. It's like, dog, man, let that dude alone. You know,
like
every
Michael,
day.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. He was 19 when that happened. He's 23. Here it is. Mel Gibson punched his ex-girlfriend while he was holding a baby, said things about Jews, said things about black people. He's allowed to make a living. Roman Polanski raped a girl 30-some years ago, went on the run. They finally caught him. Nobody talks about that. But you want to make Christopher Rock, I keep telling people, Michael Jackson's dead, O.J. Simpson's in jail. They need a new nigga of the month. And Chris fits that bill.
Well, come on, Harvey. You can't talk about them. That's their personal life. That's what they always say. That's a personal matter.
You know,
you can't talk about that.
But you know what? But see, this is why I tell brothers. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. I wish I could talk to Chris and say, brother, sit down. Stop. They ain't gonna stop till you commit suicide or they break you. It took them 20 years to get to Michael Jackson. I don't care what anybody say. They killed that man. It's that brother was on the one there when it happened. You know what I mean? Because if you watch that last movie, Michael, if this is it, Michael was a walking skeleton.
Yeah, where's that dude, Chris Brown, where's he from?
Virginia.
That's where Genuine's from. That's where Genuine's from, too, right? But I think it's Minnesota. I know they're in the Midwest region. I know they're in the area like that, you know. But I was about to bring up another point. Now, do y'all remember when Mario, now you didn't hear about this too much, but Mario beat the crap out of his mother. It didn't make media news. But the thing with Rihanna and Chris is still talked about. What's worse, hitting your mama or hitting your girl? I mean, both are bad, but your mama.
What the hell he beat up? Now, he beat up his mother. Damn. That's, now, I know, like, coming up in my, you couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't be living if he
But that came with the media. But that just proves my point, how the media would program the community and say, okay, it's okay to hit your mama, but hit your girlfriend. That's wrong. Only reason why they're going after Chris, and I keep telling people, the time we just elected President Obama and the images of black men were looking too good. And they said, oh, he can't have this.
It's going to get worse, man. You know, it's going to be this. I already see it, man, because I study white people. I already know how things are going to get. It's just going to get worse, man. So you may as well just get your helmet ready and just be ready. That's all I can say.
But you know what? I say this. Now, people say, Harvey, why you keep doing these videos? It's because if I can reach one or two people, I think I've done my job. There are a lot of people out there who crave knowledge, that want to talk about things, that want to change, but they feel they're the only ones. You know what I mean? Now, I come across a lot of young brothers that ask me, well, you know what? I can't find a job. I don't know what to do. I don't want to be on the corner selling drugs. Now, I'm not advocating the military for everybody, but I said, look, right now, if you don't go to school and get the proper education and you can't find a career, not a job, there's a difference between a job and a career.
Mm-hmm.
Go in, do 2, 3 years, 4 years of the military, get your government benefits, and pay. Let the government pay your schooling for you. Use that to your advantage, because that's what I've done. I didn't want to go in the Army. I went and lost my job. I said, I'm going to let them work for me. I got my cars paid off. I got a nice new home. Every month I'm getting paid. I know how to use the system. So I take what I've learned and by reading real estate books, say I'm going to invest my money. So when I get 65, I ain't got to be waiting for a Social Security check. I already know what I did. I took advantage of it. And we need to tell our brothers and sisters, quit waiting for somebody to come and save you. Save yourself.
Mm.
Get out here and make these hard choices. Quit saying this is a white man army. Everything the white man got control of. You know what I mean?
Until you go into business for yourself. Because I had a brother like talking to me today, and he said his father said, you know what? He said, I ain't never working for no white man. I'm working for myself. And he said his father did. He said he worked for a while, got his own business, and never worked for nobody else ever again. And see, a lot of these brothers, you know, you on the internet all day long looking at booty shaking videos. Why don't you use Google to research the careers that's going to pay you high dollar? Because they got dudes. Like one time I heard a brother say he had a teaching job, went to college and everything, I'm making $32,000 a year. I said, come on, man, that's a waste of your time to go to college making $32,000. You need to get a job paying you minimum $70,000 and up. That's how I think. Why am I going to college and get a $32,000 job?
And what we need to do is take these brothers and sisters that got this knowledge. That's why I said we don't use our people. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. You got brothers and sisters who are teachers. Wouldn't it behoove you go back to your old high school and say, Mr. and Mrs. Such, hey, I got a question. I want to do something at my church. If you don't mind, come and speak to these kids. You know what I mean? Instead of sitting there praying and foaming at the mouth, take advantage of the place where you can meet all your people and pass the word. See, we don't use the resources we have. You know what I mean? I mean, every Sunday, how many times are you going to repeat the same passage over? On Sunday morning, you say to your church, you know what? This Sunday, we ain't going to do this. We're going to talk about our history. We're going to talk about not Dr. King. We're going to talk about somebody other than that. We're going to talk about how we control our dollar. You know what that might spark interest in somebody. It might motivate somebody to get off their behind and say, if I'm going to sell drugs, I'm going to take that money and put it in the bank somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They do something illegal, and they take it and put it in legal business. So they say, I ain't going to be on the corner selling drugs forever. I know that's a short-term thing because some other brother going to want to get that and going to gun it for me. So why don't I take that money instead of going buying rims, I'm going to put it in the bank, save up enough. I'm going to go buy me a piece of property, rent it out, and I got a legalized income. And then you just have to see white people, they be thinking ahead. They do criminal things, and they find a way to do legal things.
I'm going to tell you something else. Now, and this is some truth, two points I want to make about I've seen about white people and why they stay ahead. And really, it's very smart. It's nothing rocket science to what they do. Number one, they invest heavily into their children. Then I'm going to give you an example. Some years ago, I had bought a dog from a man. You know, he lived out in the country, and he told me he was selling the dog. So I said, okay. And he said, yeah, I'm selling the dogs for my daughter's college. And I said, oh, really? And I looked at his daughters, and none of them was like, you know, the age they should be graduating. I say, well, what daughter are you talking about? I said, oh, this one. And she, yeah, I said, what grade is she in? He said, oh, she's in the seventh grade. So this man is selling these purebred dogs at $350 a pop for his daughter's college, just breeding those dogs, and he says he's throwing it into that account. Also, white people keep their kids in stuff. That's why they don't have time to get in trouble. They keep them in gymnastics. They keep them in baseball. They keep them in this. They keep them in that. And on top of that, white people are heavily involved in their children's life. They just don't throw them to that stuff. Because my little daughter is in gymnastics. You see all the white people, the man and the woman, there, cheering their kid on, watching their kid, very heavily involved in what their children are doing. That's why they stay ahead, because they invest into their kids' future, and they're there to make sure they do it every step of the way. But black folks,
you know what?
We don't do that. We just throw our kids to the side and let all go do something with yourself. That's why they get in trouble.
That's what my mother and father did. Cause I remember you saying that, you know, I talk about these different subjects. I'll give you an example of how it started. Well, the area my parents grew up was called K-Town, right? All the streets was named after K, right? They didn't live that far from where Dr. King stayed when he came to the west side of Chicago, right? But about 10 minutes down the street, it was Cicero, Illinois. And so by the time I was born, Cicero still, you know, didn't want blacks in, right? So as I got older, we would drive through there. Whites would come cross over to the Chicago side, harassing the blacks, or blacks would drive down the road. They would throw rocks and yell, nigger. So I asked my father what nigger is, you know? And they shocked a little five-year-old asking these questions, right? But at that time, my father and them was more comfortable saying, you know what, I'm not going to lie to my son. Okay, this is how this group of people think. Not all, but this is what they need to do. So I got curious. So when Black History came around, they showed up old films of Dr. King and them. I wanted to learn a little bit more. But Malcolm X stood out to me because he didn't say that I have a dream, peace to everybody stuff that King was saying. You know what I mean? So I started doing more and more research, and my parents kept encouraging me, just like you said white parents do. They kept putting the books in front of me. They kept taking me to museums. They had me and my brother do book reports. Once a month, we'd go to the library and read a book and do a book report. Because they kept stimulating our minds. So by the time I got in high school, I knew the teacher was feeding us BS. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because they were challenging us. They were challenging, because I remember teachers just a lie in my face. I said, that's not what happened. Well, how do you know, Harvey? Well, my mother and father lived in that community, and my father marched with Dr. King, and he said, that's not how it went down. Oh, my gosh, you're a militant. I'm not militant. Then they accused me of being anti-Semitic because I didn't want to hear about the Holocaust. I'm like, I'm going to predominantly black school. Why are you trying to talk about the Holocaust? Why don't we talk about the middle path? You know, all these other things, you know? And so I took upon myself to go out there and stimulate my own mind. To this day, I go to bookstores, I read everything I get my hands on. I even read things that are against black people to learn how these people think. And that's our problem, because we don't study the enemy. They study us. Like, you notice when that bus driver, that incident with that bus driver went down, you notice the Fox affiliate showed the edited video showing a black man hitting that woman, but they didn't show her acting out.
Yeah,
they did it on purpose, because they knew that they can play the black man and black woman against each other. That's why you had so many black women on YouTube bashing black men, saying we don't respect black women, because they edited version of that video. Because white people got smart. We're going to manipulate the images, and we're going to play these fools against each other. That's why when I do these videos, I tell people you can't mess with my mind, because I know I picked up all the tricks. And then that other video surfaced where they show her hitting and actually hitting and spitting on a bus driver. And nobody plays that. You know, they try to take that video off YouTube.
Shoot, I remember, man, I put all the videos up. I put up that other video. I put up her radio interview. I put it up, all of them up. Matter of fact, I'm about to put another one up. What happened to that brother? You know what happened to that brother in the end?
Lost his job.
Yep.
I told you, I knew this would happen.
Yeah, he got fired.
Well, he was on
there.
They fired him off of procedures. And I read off the procedure, you know, on the video. I'm going to post probably as soon as I finish this show. Basically, they have a clause in there to say you can't touch anybody or hit anybody while on company time, to paraphrase it. And that's how they got him. And he's going to file a grievance against the firing, but it's nothing he can do because, you know, I'm a union myself. And I know that you got to follow the rules or they can terminate you, period.
But that happened to me. I lost my job like that. The same, well, similar incident. I was a manager at KFC. And they kept putting me in white and Hispanic neighborhoods. And what happened was I was in line to get my own store, right? So once white people found out that you about to become their boss, they stopped plotting, right? So they couldn't come out and do anything to me because I was 20 steps ahead of them. So what happened, it transferred to another location. So I got put in a neighborhood with Hispanics and whites. So I guess it was either All-Star Weekend or Super Bowl. So it happened right after 9/11. This guy plays a catering order. He comes in. He supposed to came in the afternoon, guy. He comes in about 7, 8 o'clock at night, and I'm in the back, you know, doing the checking computers, doing the positives and whatnot. So I hear somebody yelling at one of my employees. I go up to this guy and scream at this 17-year-old white girl. I said, sir, don't yell at my employee. If you want to yell at me, can I help you? You MF such and such nigger. And I'm like, whoa, sir. I can talk to you, but you don't have to call me out my name. Well, I want my effing chicken. I said, sir, wait a minute, we're busy. No, I had a catering order. I said, only catering order we had was early, and a gentleman to come pick it up. That's me. I said, sir, you supposed to came in at 12 o'clock. It's now almost 8 o'clock. We couldn't keep that food up. We had to sell it or throw it away. So I said, what I can do for you is I can replace it, but it's going to be a wait because we've got to be busy. So I said, what I can do is offer you dessert, or I can take some of the money off. He said, nah, F that, you nigga. I said, sir, I'm not going to be too many niggas up in here now. I'm going to let you know what I can do. Now, if you don't want to do that, you're more than welcome to go to another location. Being a white guy, he can't take that the black guy's talking to him, as a man. I'm not yelling and cursing. You know, he wanted to try to dominate me. So he jumps over the counter, and I'm like, once you jump over that counter, you're on my turf. You know what I mean? So my crew, we all know because people have gotten killed in these fast food restaurants. We all saw what happened to Rayon McIntosh, you know, when the two women came behind the counter.
What was he? He was white?
Yeah, he was white. But see, when he realized what was going on, he looked funny in front of those other white people. So what he did, he went down to another location with somebody, this old handkerchief head, gave my full name, told who my supervisor was. So I had money off, come to get my paycheck. They said, I'm suspended. I got a store full of witnesses telling what happened. KFC didn't want to get a lawsuit. They said, we got to fire you. So trust me, I didn't touch it. So I know how easy it is to fire people. So when that brother hit that woman, I said, he done. So now he's going to lose his pension and everything.
Yeah, he gets fired. He lost his pension. They didn't even tell him. They didn't even be customary and say, look, just go ahead and quit so you can keep your pension. They could at least did him that. Let him quit. But no, they fired him.
The man been with them 20-something years. And see, exactly. That's why I said that Fox video. See, if they used that other video from the other angle, they would see that bus was moving. He can go sue, but it's going to be hard because the media, because he was on a View, everybody showed their edited version of the video. And they play into this angle. That's why when I was telling these sisters on YouTube, I'm like, why are y'all getting mad at this brother? Well, he's supposed to be a professional. I said, he's a human being, too. I said, y'all keep defending this hood, this ratchet hood rat mentality. She threatened that man. She could have caused a lot of lives, lost a lot of people on the bus, people on the street in their cars. But I knew once he hit her, I said, he's done. I knew that was coming, so that's not a big surprise to me. But it tells you how programmed black men and black women are. You go mess with a working man, but you won't mess with the dude on the corner. You won't mess with a white man that comes in the community and disrespect you, but you mess with a brother or you mess with a sister. This is why I say we have to decide once and for all what we're going to do. Sorry, say that again, brother.
And this is where when it goes back to talking about a lot of these biracial people, I'm sorry, you're going to see a great dynamic shift in the black community in the next 20 years with biracial people because a lot of these well-to-do brothers are sick of that, and they're going elsewhere. I mean, I don't care what you say, it's happening. I see it every time I talk to these well-to-do brothers. They say, man, I can't deal with them. They got too much attitude. They this, they that. And the main ones, at least in this area, they go to Hispanic. They don't go to white chicks too much anymore, not from this area. They mostly go to Hispanic chicks.
Yo, let me ask you something. I'm curious, in y'all cities, now I know what it's like here in Boston, but in y'all cities, is there a serious weight issue with black women in y'all cities?
That's everywhere.
Huh?
That's everywhere. That's all over the country. That's the
okay,
statistics
all right,
bear
all right.
that out.
All
I mean, right, every. That's not everybody, of course. I mean, come on. I mean, it's not everybody, but, you know, I mean, the statistics bear that out. I mean, Houston is the fattest city in the nation, so there you go.
Oh, it is?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you up here now. I mean, I know I've gained weight based off my injuries and stuff, and I got to work on it. But usually when we reach a certain age or we don't participate in physical fitness, by the time we're in our late 20s, early 30s, we are heavier than most. But our sisters are heavier than most because we don't – how can I put this without being insulting? We don't demand a lot.
That's a big problem with black men. You don't have no standards.
I've been in Chicago twice now. When I was there, I seen some attractive black female. Now this was back in '98. You know, I'm 36 now.
That was '98.
Yeah, I was near what, Almar Food Store. I was near I was downtown where they shot that movie The Relic, where you can see Lake Michigan. I was on Halsted Street, UIC.
Oh, okay, I know exactly where you was at. Oh, those women, those sisters over there, no, they got to keep they figure out. A lot of them work down with the white women. Now, if you get closer to the quote-unquote black community, see, the area you are using the white neighborhood, those sisters got to fight. They got to compete because they're working downtown. If you notice any black woman work in a downtown setting, their size is smaller, they wear their clothes different because they know if they start looking like the stereotypical black woman, they know they're out of there. That's everywhere. I'm telling you. I know exactly what you're talking about. But those sisters are usually gone. You can't approach those sisters until they reach about 37, 38, 40. Then they want to say, oh, you know what? I made a mistake. I really want to be with you. But in my opinion, it's too late.
Now, they don't, to me, a lot of black females is like, well, that's true what he said about black dudes not stepping. They don't have no sort of, what's the word?
Standards.
Standards. Like, I know in the white community, like, that's a kiss of death, man, if you're like an overweight white woman. White dudes, they don't.
Man, I'm going to tell you what, in the gym, them white women work out. I'm telling you, them white women be in there working out. One time I did a video about this and black women got mad at me. I say, hey, man, I go to the gym, white women be all over the place. I rarely see sisters.
You hit too close to home, but you told the truth. See, usually people respond when you tell the truth. You know what I mean? Like, I brothers get mad at me for saying, so like, we've been equally about talking about what we need to do in our community. You got a lot of brothers that get mad. Man, why are you out saying this? I said, it's the truth. We got to have standards just as well as our women have standards. But the problem is, as a people, we're too emotional. We cannot take constructive criticism.
Yep, and then that's why, and also, too, that's why I had decided, you know, talking about criticism and stuff like that, that's why I decided to stop talking about these particular issues we're talking about right now on YouTube, because I didn't want too many, I didn't want all the ears in our particular discussions anymore, because I learned that YouTube is a worldwide forum, and how can you keep other people out if you keep discussing it there on YouTube? So I say, well, I discuss it on Blog Talk Radio, or I'll, too, you know, when I get my site started, I'll put more stuff on my site. But, you know, it's just like I just quit that, because when I start noticing all these comments from people in other countries and, you know, I have, you know, white people telling me stuff about black issues, I'm like, hold on, they don't even be discussing it, but I'm putting it on YouTube, so I'm kind of putting it in their face. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like the radio show more, because I can discuss these issues, I think, a lot more freely, and I'm in control of it.
I'm sorry, go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say, you all meet people from other countries on YouTube?
Yeah, they talk to me all the time.
I get people from YouTube. As a matter of fact, I got a white woman from another country talking to me. Actually, she gave me a compliment because she said she'd been following my videos for a while. And I guess the trolls don't come at me like they used to, because, you know, brother, how many channels I had to put up because I'm tenacious, you know what I mean? And I'm sitting there like, all you do is when you false flag my channels, I'm going to come and put 400 videos up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I like that channel because, see, I'm the kind of brother, it's like, I'm not going to do what some black guys do. You kick them and they fall down and they lay down crying. You kick me, okay, now I'm going to get up and I'm going to kick you, but I'm going to kick you harder. You had that mindset. And our people seem to have lost that. Black men have seen to have lost that. This is why everybody come in our community and do what they want to do. Like, I want to do my own website because I'm tired of giving YouTube material. You know what I mean?
It's not that hard, brother. Like I said, recently, I just purchased my domain name. I purchased my web hosting. And like I said, by the end of next month, I'll pay my dues to start working on my website because I'm not playing.
I got all kinds of ideas. But see, my thing is, I don't want to, and how can I put this? I don't want to make it look rinky dinky, you know what I mean? I want to have it where it's not looked upon just as a black channel, but a channel where people can come to and feel comfortable talking, no matter how repugnant they stuff is. But I want our people to feel that they got a voice, because you see how many black channels have gotten taken down off YouTube, and it's no hate speech. It's just the fact that we're talking to each other or putting out information, and people can't take that. Because you have the booty-shaking videos up, you have porn up, they're still up. Those white girls can sit there and say they hate black people, never get taken down. You have videos where people say they want to kill black people, never taken down. But the moment we have a conversation like we have in now, oh, you got to take that guy down. He's dangerous.
Yeah, I wouldn't even post this particular conversation on YouTube. It's going to stay where it's at. It's not going there.
Okay.
You know, no. None of my radio shows are going on YouTube, period. Because the way I talk here and the way I talk on YouTube is totally different.
Yeah, because I was me and Agent Nothing Up 7 was talking, and there's certain things me and him don't talk about on YouTube because people ask me to go in great detail, and I say, you don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing.
That's how
they've been able to be two steps ahead or 20 steps ahead of us. Can we tell the world what we're doing? Like me personally, I know I got a lot of ideas. It's just that it takes capital. It takes capital to get initiated. I tell any black person, if you want to control what's going on in your community, own real estate.
That's right, and have a lot of investments. But you know, one thing I'm tell you, I've learned a lot from, and this is the biggest flaw we have with the black community. We don't do like the Asians, Arabs, and Latino community do. You notice that they shut everybody out and they keep their stuff to themselves. They don't teach you their language. They don't teach you none of this. But black folks, we give away all our culture to everybody.
Wait a minute, you talk about the same people that you say was the same as us, right?
The savior, what?
No, it's the same people that you said that these other groups, the same people that you say, like in your video, you said they were the same as us, right? You said we the same people.
In the sense of, in the eyes of racist white men, we all looked at it the same. Okay, what you say? They'll screw y'all. You think they want you, any of us, to take their power from them? Nope. No matter who you are. Trust me. I hear, put like this. They talk about, I've heard conversations. It's like even at my, I walked up on conversations of how they talk about them, and you be thinking they talking about us. But back to what I'm saying is, like for instance, they shut everybody out. We teach everybody our dances, we teach everybody our culture, we teach everybody how to cook our food, we teach everybody all our stuff. We give it all away. That's why everybody always mimicking us. But you notice these other cultures don't teach you their culture, their language, their traditions. They refuse to teach it to you because they keep it to themselves.
A lot of those Hispanics, like. The males, well, Asians too, but since I'm closer to Hispanics, they teach their women, the same our so-called black brown allies, they teach their women not to mess with black males. I'm not saying I want their women, but this is something, like, there was a time I did talk to one of their women, but this is, she tells me a lot of things that those Hispanics say about blacks, especially particularly black males, you would probably be surprised what they say.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. They racist too. I'm not surprised by that. I know that.
They take back to what Dude said. They take what black people's styles, right, and everything we fought for, and they try to use it against us. Just like I knew one dude. He was a boxer. A black dude was a boxer, right? He taught the Spanish dude how to fight, how to box. You know, that same Spanish dude, he tried to use his boxing skills on me, you know, because I didn't move. I didn't do what he wanted me to do. And he wanted to use, luckily for me, I know how to protect myself, but he wanted to use the boxing skills that person taught him. He wanted to use me. It was like, and dude was real good. Well, the one who taught him was real good. But he tried to use the black boxing style because that's what he had. He tried to use that on me to beat me up. You know, so that's why I say this is another reason why you should not, you should, I believe a lot of these people should be shunned. You should, like, how they disassociate, that won't keep you out of their culture, you need to keep them out of yours, too. Because they're going to take it and they're going to use it against you.
Yeah, well, I'm saying about black folks, we give away all our dances. Come on, think about it. We give it, the first ones we give it to is white folks. Think about it. Everything we do.
Look what we did with Justin Timberlake. Look at Justin Bieber, Elvis Presley. I can go on. Benny Goodman, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles. We do it every time, and you would think we would recognize it. I mean, think about it. Justin Bieber can walk around with his pants off his ass. He's a heartthrob. Lil Wayne doing it, he's a thug.
Oh, check this out. I was tripping out the other day when I think I, you know, cause you know, you always browse through, because sometimes Worldstar got some good news stories on there. I was browsing, and I said they had some white girl trying to do twerk team. I said, oh, my God. And they trying to even do the twerk team now? I said, they can't even keep booty shaking twerk team to themselves. You know, black women can't even do keep that. They trying to twerk team.
But just prove what I said at the beginning of our conversation. Yeah, envy of us. They deep desire to be like us. This is why they latch on to the so-called Hispanic culture, because whether we like to admit to it or not, these people they do come from us, but they redefine who's what and whatnot. This is why, if you notice, back in 98, 99, all of a sudden white folks embrace Latinos in movies and stuff, because they got part of us and part of them. See what I'm saying? So they said, well, if we get close and redefine ourselves as part, because you never hear a white person, you never hear a white woman say if she got a behind or breast, that this, I got this black blood in me. They'll say I got Mexican, Native American, everything else, just to avoid it, but yet they emulate everything we do.
I'm going to tell you what they favorite to say, Italian. They claim that a lot.
Or Italian or Native American.
Irish.
I love it.
Irish. They claim that.
And Irish. And I said, and so I got this one girl, so I said, you got some nigga blood in you. No, I don't. I said, who the hell you think you're talking to? These Italian, I keep telling you, this is why people get mad at me, but I research these different books, right? And, you know, I read these genetic books and everything. A lot of people don't know that we produce melanin, you know, give us our skin tone, hair texture and stuff, that sometimes, even though our blood types might match, people reject our organs because they can't take our melanin, the stuff that we produce in our bodies. That's why we made the ideal slaves, because we can take harsher climates than most people. A lot of people don't understand it's a pattern to their attitudes, just like the Sphinx. A lot of people don't know that Napoleon blew the noses off because they know that we built those things.
I mean, if you look at...
Let me ask something. We got less than 3 minutes to go by the Italians. What a lot of people, why they have olive skin tone is because the southern Italians was overran by the Moors, and the Moors are us. That's why they have that skin tone anyway. So they're part us anyway.
Yeah, that's why I laugh, because I give you a perfect example. If you watch any of these Hollywood movies and they talk about that black blood in you, and they have to, because the godfather to this movie with Christopher Walken, when Dennis Hopper, they was talking about, you know why you look like that. You know why you got the large nose and the large penis and everything. You part black, and they hate it. That's why if you notice certain cultures, like Jennifer Lopez, remember how she used to look back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
And how she looks now?
Surgery.
Halle Berry. Remember Halle Berry had that wide nose?
Yeah, look more African features. Yeah, surgery.
Exactly. I'm telling you. People do not, that's why I tell black people, I know some people get mad, well, you're making us choose. I'm not making you choose, society's going to choose for you. Like, remember they was calling President Obama biracial, within 2 months they was calling him a black man, 3 months into the office they was calling him a nigger. This country, this world will make you black real easy.
He identifies himself as a black man too.
Because he know better.
He know better, yeah.
Because Mariah Carey, we know she mixed. But you know what? If you look at Mariah Carey, she carries herself like a black woman. They never called Mariah Carey white. I've never heard them call Mariah Carey white. Oh. They call her a black woman, a woman of color. Because, see, the problem is we run away from who we are. Because we've been told to hate it, revile it. We hate our nose. That's why I tell black women, I'd rather see a sister with short hair than all that weave in their hair. Quit crying your hair. Quit doing all that. If I want a white woman, I go get a white woman with those features.
And with that note, brothers, I'm getting like about 55 seconds left on the show. It's been a good show. I appreciate y'all coming in. It's been a good discussion.
Next week,
I'm supposed to be having Lil Reese on to explain himself about that video. So I've emailed him a few. We talked, so that's who's supposed to be on next week. I want to question him thoroughly about that video.
I'm gonna listen because like I said, brother, I appreciate you calling me. Well, let me come on your show.
That's no problem.
Again, so you can contact me anytime. Like I said, if anybody out there listening, you can go to Mr. Superboy 2222, check out my videos and that kind of thing. Like I said, I have no problem coming on the show, talk about anything. You want to talk about politics, religion, entertainment, I'll do it all.
All right. Well, I appreciate y'all brothers coming in. And see y'all next week on the show. And supposed to have Lil Reese and make sure all that go through. And we'll discuss that particular video to find out, what was his mindset on that video? Because I really want to know. Anyway, see y'all next week.
All right.
Give them, brothers.
All right.